Nighttime lows to stay much warmer. And the afternoon's getting spring-like tomorrow, Sunday. But Sunday, the rain's coming in on the Sunday night. Solid chances are with us now. Some of it could get heavy. And the early rains on Christmas Day should be moving out quickly. It'll become partly sunny by afternoon. Dry, if not for the morning, with the high going to about 70. 70 is Sunday, with the rains beginning Sunday or Saturday night.
I'll be here to hear what's on your mind.
As an adult, kids want to know you're listening to them, but they also know your expectations and how and why to avoid underage drinking. Talking early and often about it in everyday conversations reinforces your message and keeps lines of communication open. For more information, visit underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
I'll be by your side.
Welcome to the 12th season of In the Red Zone, talking New Orleans Saints football. And now let's go to Premier Nissan at 6636 Veterans Boulevard, where Metairie meets Kenner, with your host, WGSO radio personality, Mitch Gibbs.
All right, welcome to another edition of In the Red Zone. We're live here at Premier Nissan at 6636 Veterans Boulevard, where Metairie meets Kenner, right off the I-10 exit on Veterans. And we're going to start with a more positive topic. The great group of people that do an event every year, the Crescent City Homebrewers, have their annual Winterfest event, and of course it's going to be just in a couple weeks after the new year, January 13th, at the Deutsches Haus on 1700 Moss Street. We have the vice president of the Crescent City Homebrewers with us right now. Genevieve is with us. So Genevieve, thanks for joining me this evening.
Thanks for having me. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing good. You know, we had a little rough night last night with the Saints. We'll talk more about that a little bit later. But, you know, it's great to, you know, have bittersweet feelings about your event, because I've been the last couple of years and it's always at night and there's usually NFL playoffs going on, and the Saints haven't been playing that evening, unfortunately, for the last couple of years. And I don't know if that's going to change this year, but anyway, it is a great event, and if you love beer, you should definitely participate. So give us the details. Tell us a little bit about how you guys got started with this and what you guys have planned for 2024 Winterfest.
Well, like you said, Winterfest is, in fact, an event for drinking beer. We are the Crescent City Homebrewers, so we're a group that is dedicated to the science and craft of homebrewing. And our mission is to promote homebrewing within both the club and beyond through public awareness and appreciation of the quality and variety of homebrew. And, you know, the best way to educate people about homebrew is to let them come drink it, right? So, at the Deutsches Haus, which is 1700 Moss Street, we're going to be having Winterfest, which is our biggest fundraiser of the year. We're shooting for about 40 to 50 different types of homebrew, and that includes both beer and, you know, the other types of homebrew that people don't really think about, which would be like cider, mead, and even wine. We're going to have live music by Tongue and Groove also, so if you're a fan of live music, that might also get you out. So it starts at 6 o'clock, like you said, January 13th. And I think it's going to be a really good time.
Don't you guys have to do some commercial breweries too as well, right? You kind of mix in a little bit with that?
Yeah, we usually get some donations from not too many, maybe 4, 5, 6 different, you know, local craft breweries. We usually have, I mean, we have a lot of ties to the local craft brewing community. Some of our members are involved in NOLA and Miel. We had two guys over at the sadly defunct Wetland Sake.
Well, I just bring that up because it just the more variety, too. You know, beer tasting, and that's a great place to do an event like that outdoors. I've been the last couple of years. I think it's been fantastic. I'm a big beer fan as well. And so, Tell, I know it's on Eventbrite, you can purchase tickets, but just give us the details on for our listening audience if they want to purchase tickets. I know it's January 13th. It's at, right. Like you said, it's at the Deutsche, it's at 1700 Moss Street. There's plenty of parking. They've got a big parking lot there. So tell us a little bit about that.
So the Deutsche Fest, I'm sure people who are listening have probably gone to their Oktoberfest. So it's not in the entirety of that outdoor space. It's off to the side because we're not shooting for several thousand people to show up, right?
Right.
But it is going to be in that space. We're going to have access to their kitchen as well, so you can purchase food to offset all of the beer you're going to be drinking. To get in, it's going to be $40. And that actually includes both access to Winterfest as well as to our monthly meetings, which are also held at the Deutsches Haus the first Wednesday of the month at 7 o'clock. And so if you decide that, hey, I want to learn about making beer, and first you want to find out if you like drinking the weird stuff that we make, it's not just going to be weird stuff. We do have members who like to go for a very standard, the tried and true types of beer, the very German, English styles. Or you could be like me and go a little crazy with it, putting pineapple in things.
Yeah, like I said, the last couple of years I've been there's been a lot of variety. You know, whether you like a lager, you like a darker beer, which I prefer, you get a great selection. So anyway, I'm sure you guys are going to do great again. The second week of January, January 13th. Hopefully you have a beautiful night as well. So, Genevieve, we really appreciate you coming on with us this evening, and we'll, of course, spread the word as much as possible.
Well, thanks for having me.
All right, well, take care. Thank you. That was Genevieve Matei, who's the vice president of the Crescent City Home Brewers, with their big annual fundraiser on January 13th at the Deutsches Haus, 1700 Moss Street, right off of the Bayou St. John, right around the fairgrounds, that area, of course, and plenty of parking there as well. And, you know, the fairgrounds has got a big day tomorrow. We'll talk a little bit more about that with Danny Brewer later in the show. Saints game, 30-22. The Rams win the game. And, you know, we're going to talk to Hunt Palmer and Gary Smith about that. And you look at these numbers again. You know, Derek Carr is a nice game. Over 300 yards passing, three touches. He threw one interception. He was sacked twice. But, you know, I said, you know, with a couple of our guests on Monday on the show, I said, the Saints have to do something they have not done the last 2 weeks, which they cannot get away with against the Rams, because they're not playing Carolina and they're not playing the Giants. They got to get off to a good start. They cannot score 7 points by halftime and expect to win this game, because I don't think they're going to be ahead if they only score 7 points. If sure enough, they were down 17-7. You could talk about a lot of different things that happened in this game. The first possession, the Saints had the ball in field goal range. Derek Carr takes a bad sack, keeps them out of field goal range. Then they give up a long drive. They make a couple of mistakes. They got a holding penalty and interference, which I thought was a little bit questionable. And then they gave Rams a first down, and then they end up scoring a touchdown. So it really should have been a field goal. So you're talking about 7 point swing right there. Saints have a chance. They come back. And it's 10-7, and they have the ball. And they're driving, and then they have a fourth down situation on the Rams 42 with like a little over a minute left to go in the half, maybe a minute and a half or so. And, you know, I know they weren't getting the ball first in the second half because the Rams had deferred at the beginning of the game, but if they punt the ball, they probably go down 10-7 at halftime. Instead, they go for it. They give the Rams a short field. The Rams end up scoring a touchdown. And it's like almost the game's over. They're down 17-7 at halftime against a team that's as good or better than them, and they're on the road, and it was just a bad spot to be in. But, you know, if you look at the numbers too, the Rams had 9 more plays than the Saints. The Rams had the ball like 9 minutes more than the Saints, and the Rams had 133 yards rushing. The Saints had 35 yards rushing. And again, I've said this all season long, the Saints running game has been maybe one of their biggest Achilles heel. We talked about that during the offseason, that Kamara was going to be out for the first 3 games because of suspension. They needed to improve the running game. They draft Kendre Miller from TCU, which I thought was a nice draft. He's been hurt a lot of the season. That's been a problem. They signed Jamal Williams as a free agent from the Detroit Lions. The Lions knew what they were doing because they have two very good running backs in Gibbs, the rookie from Alabama, and they got Montgomery. And Jamal Williams has been very disappointing. And so 35 yards and expecting Kamara to carry the burden every game is a lot to ask. And I think that's been really one of the big problems the Saints have faced I'll add one other thing, is making mistakes, constantly making mistakes at the wrong time. And that happened again last night. We're going to take our first break. We're live here at Premier Nissan on their 6636 Veterans Boulevard. They're open 9 to 9 every day. They'll be open tomorrow all the way up to Christmas, 9 to 9 Saturday. And come on by. We'll be back live right after these messages.
This is Jed Darensberg with DA Exterminating Company. Here's our jingle. Hope it bugs you.
DA Exterminating. The real DA is on the way. Say your home's got fleas or home's got bugs. Crawling in your walls or on your rugs. Say no to bugs. Tell your DA. Pick up the phone. We're on the way. DA Exterminating.
We offer complete pest and termite control featuring the Centricon system. DA Exterminating Company. 800-650-PEST.
DA.
Mitch Gibbs here, host of In the Red Zone in our 12th season for LA Medical Management Corporation, located at 2930 Canal Boulevard, New Orleans, Louisiana. And they are open Monday through Thursdays, 8:30 to 5:30 p.m., and Fridays, 8 to 5 p.m. At LMMC, they handle primary care, physical therapy, and diagnostic testing. With medical doctors on staff, they are the personal injury specialists and the leaders in accident-related health care. Call them today at 504-821-2574.
At Fidelity Bank, some of our clients say "here for good" in Spanish.
Estamos aquí para quedarnos.
Some say it in French.
Ici pour de bon.
Vietnamese.
Arai mai mai.
And even Italian.
Qui per sempre.
Because "here for good" means we're local and committed to our uniquely diverse South Louisiana community. Come see what a difference a local bank can make since 1908.
Here for good.
Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
I'm Dan Mills, CEO of the Home Builders Association of Greater New Orleans. As the voice of the residential housing industry in Southeast Louisiana for over 80 years, we're your home team when it comes to providing trusted advice and professional service. As with any organization, teamwork is the key. Our members benefit from education, advocacy, and networking, all designed to help you achieve your American dream of owning a home. For more information, to find a builder, or to become a member, visit us at hbagno.org.
Are you suffering from neck and back pain from a recent car accident? Have you gone to the emergency room to have them tell you there's nothing wrong? Hi, I'm Dr. Steven Tremuto with Doctors Rehab Services, and chiropractic care is one of the best remedies for whiplash and soft tissue injuries. With locations in Kenner, Mid-City, and the West Bank, it's easy to start your road to recovery. At Doctors Rehab Service, we'll even do all the work with your insurance company and attorney to get you the care you really need.
For a free consultation or to get more information, call Doctors Rehab Services at 504-465-5553.
Call me, Dr.
Hey,
T.
Hey, Christian, DTS Appliance Direct is moving to City Park. Go now to their current location, 3240 Parish Road in Chalmette, right next to Winn-Dixie. DTS Appliance Direct is liquidating their current inventory up to 25% off on appliances, high-end appliances, Z-Line, Blaze Grills, Monogram, Cafe, Hire, and many more. Call DTS Appliance Direct, 504-766-0738. Take advantage of this massive, massive deal. Call DTS Appliance Direct, 504-766-0738.
All right, we're back here live at Premier Nissan, where Metairie meets Kenner, 6636 Veterans Boulevard. Talking Saints football here, 30-22 loss to the Rams. We've got Hunt Palmer with us with the Hunt Palmer Show. So, Hunt, thanks for joining me this evening.
Absolutely, happy to.
Yeah, hey, man, so... you know, I'm looking at, you know, I saw a lot of the game, of course, and looking at the numbers overall, and it seems to me we get a pattern that keeps, which is, it's repetition to say this, but it repeats itself here. And I said this, and I don't want to sound like I'm a genius or anything, but I said this on Monday. I said that we cannot have a first half offensively like we've had the last 2 weeks. because we're not playing the Giants and the Panthers. We're playing a better football team, and we're on the road, and we do it again. We have 7 points at halftime, and I said if we have 7 points at halftime, we're going to be down, and we don't want to be down on the road going to the second half of the game, and sure enough, that's what happened. And so you can look at different things. You can look at the fourth downs, 0-for-3. They went for fourth down twice in the first half. 35 yards rushing. These are things that have happened week after week against better football teams. And so it doesn't surprise me that we lost the football game. But this was a game that was winnable. You know, the Rams are a good football team. They're not a great football team. So how do you evaluate what you saw last night?
The same thing we've seen all year when the Saints play a team with a pulse. And luckily for the Saints, they haven't played very many of them, but Detroit got all over them in the Dome. They got dusted in a game against Jacksonville early. Tampa destroyed them, and you know, they did the same thing with L.A. Like, when they play an awful team like Carolina or the Giants or these teams with their backup quarterbacks, yeah, they can look pretty functional. But every time they step up in weight class to a team that has a chance to make the playoffs, they get destroyed because they're not very good. And I think last night crystallized that for a lot of people, certainly did for me. And it's just not a very football team. It's not very well coached. And good.
Well, yeah, that I think we lost Hunt for a second there. But I think that one of the issues is mistakes they make. You know, like Derek Carr has been in the league for several years now, Hunt. And for him to take that sack in the beginning of the game, I know it was the beginning of the game, but we wanted to set the tone and get up to a good start, at least get points on the board. And that took us at a field goal position, and suddenly we punt, and the Rams go like on a 90-something-yard drive and take the lead. And in that drive, the Saints made a couple of bad mistakes. You could question whether that ball was catchable. I think Dennis had an argument there, but we didn't get the call. And so they get 3 points. I mean, they get 7 instead of 3, and we should have gotten 3 in the first possession. So that just that first 5 minutes of the game or so, they were making mistakes.
Yeah, no doubt. Carr can't take that sack. But you said it took you out of field goal range. I believe it only took you out of field goal range for one team in the entire NFL based on the coach and the kicker. Everybody else is going to kick a 55-yard field goal in the first quarter inside. But Dennis Allen doesn't trust his kicker because the kicker's bad, and decide to punt, and the defense, which is supposed to be the strong suit of the team, gives up a 96-yard touchdown drive immediately. So to me, it was just either a poor coaching decision or you made a very poor personnel decision by moving on from Will Lutz and going with a rookie who's been wildly inconsistent. 55-yard field goal in the year 2023 is something you've got to attempt.
Yeah, you make it. I don't disagree with you on that either. I was a little bit surprised about that, but it made a much more difficult field goal. You're right. You know, you can be penny wise and pound foolish, which is an old expression. You know, a lot of teams do that. They're like, so well, we got to save money on the kicker and the punter, but they don't. But NFL teams need to realize that, especially the kicker, is a really important part of the team. You know, it just is. That's just the way it is in the NFL. And if you have a guy who consistently can kick 50-some-yard field goals, that's an advantage. So you're right. But that was more of a management decision, obviously, there, which also adds to the problems with this franchise. It's not only coaching is an issue, but they have not made great personnel decisions as well. Wouldn't you agree with that?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think that you made the wrong decision with the kicker, and I think that it's bearing out that you made a bad decision at quarterback as well. And I think right now you're below league average in head coach and quarterback, and those are the two most important positions in the league, and that's why the Saints have been a below 500 team for the last 2 years.
Well, let me ask you also about the running game, because I've talked the last couple of years that we really need to improve the running game. And they bring in Jamal Williams, and who had a good, solid year for Detroit last year. But he was basically a short yardage guy. He had a lot of touchdowns, but they were like within 5 yards or so. And then, but obviously Detroit knew what they were doing because they have Montgomery and they drafted Gibbs, a rookie out of Alabama. And then we draft Kendre Miller's been hurt a lot, and they knew that Kamara was going to be suspended for the first three games. But the thing is, the running game has been consistently very disappointing, and that hurts them as well. I mean, when you only have 35 yards rushing, it's hard to win a football game in the NFL, and that's what they had yesterday.
Yeah, I think it starts up front. You drafted your left tackle and benched him. Your right tackle, Ryan Ramczyk, not playing. Ruiz has been consistently graded as one of the worst run-blocking guards in the NFL. And, you know, they don't do a good job of run-blocking, so it's hard to do. And then you add to the fact that you get down immediately 24-7 against Detroit. You get down immediately, I think, 23-7 or 24-9, something like that, against Jacksonville. You were behind three scores pretty quickly last night, and all of a sudden it becomes difficult to rely on the run game when you play a really good team because you're down three scores. So you've got a result to trying to throw the football. There are multiple facets or reasons why the Saints don't run it well, but they consistently don't.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you completely on that. I said, in repeating myself, that they really need to get off to a good start. That's why at least I wanted them to get points on that first possession, because they had a good possession. They moved the ball well, and they got to where then they bogged down, and then he takes a bad sack. And they just make mistakes constantly in every game that they should be making, I think, and that's hurt them in several games. So, you know, now they need, really, if Tampa Bay beats Jacksonville, which is like a toss-up game, the Saints probably can't win the division. Because Tampa Bay has Carolina last, so even if the Saints beat Tampa Bay, I don't think Tampa Bay's going to lose to Carolina. So now we're like in a kind of a rough spot, wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, I think it's bigger than that, Mitch. I talked about this on my show today. This era, in my opinion, just my opinion, but this era of Saints football that includes Michael Thomas and Cam Jordan and DeMario Davis and Alvin Kamara and Ryan Ramczyk, and this group is done as an elite level team in the NFL, and Dennis Allen needs to be moved on from. They're just a poorly coached team, a team that's very, very old, aging, and expensive, and they're not competitive with the top half of the league. They've had the easiest schedule in football this year. They don't play Kansas City. They don't play San Francisco. They don't play Philadelphia or Dallas. They don't play Cincinnati. Like, they don't play anybody that's any good, and when they do, the four times they've stepped up in class with teams that aren't in last place in their division, they've gotten smoked in the first half. So I think there are much bigger problems than, oh, they may not win the division. I just think that they need to completely overhaul everything. And they've shown a massive reluctance to do that, and they didn't at the end of the Breeze era, and that was the right thing to do. When you had Peyton and Breeze, you need to try to win as quickly as you can. And they tried to do it with Jameis Winston, and they tried with Derek Carr. And to me, this is just not working. And it's obvious when you watch them play anybody that's not Tommy DeVito or the Carolina Panthers or the Chicago Bears with Tyson Badgett. When they play a real team, which they didn't have many on their schedules, they've been down 2-3 scores in the first half every time. I just think it's time to totally restart this thing.
Yeah, I mean, you make a good, very good point, sir. Hey, we got a roll, but we'll always appreciate your contributions. Happy holidays, of course. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. And it's a pleasure. Thanks for joining me again this evening.
Absolutely, Mitch. Have a great Christmas. Thank you.
All right, man. Hey, that was good stuff there from Hunt Palmer with the Hunt Palmer Show. We're going to take a break. We come back. We have Gary Smith, the Advocate, get his thoughts on the Saints' loss. 30-22, the Rams. We're live here at Premier Nissan until 6 p.m. here at 6636 Veterans Boulevard, where Metairie meets Kenner, right off the I-10 exit. And we'll be back with more of the show in the Red Zone, our 12th season live, right after these messages.
Before you pay that other pest control company, they are, quote, home of the $650 termite treatment protection plan, called DA. I'm Jed Derensburg with DA Exterminating, and I bet we can beat that price. We offer different treatment methods featuring the Centricon bait system, and we have one of the best termite protection plans in the country. Before you pay $650 to another company, call DA. New Orleans metro area, North Shore and Houma. DA Exterminating, complete pest and termite control services since 1959. Call 800-650-PEST.
Mitch Gibbs here, host of In the Red Zone in our 12th season for LA Medical Management Corporation, located at 2930 Canal Boulevard, New Orleans, Louisiana. And they are open Monday through Thursdays, 8:30 to 5:30 p.m., and Fridays, 8 to 5 p.m. At LMMC, they handle primary care, physical therapy, and diagnostic testing. With medical doctors on staff, they are the personal injury specialists and the leaders in accident-related health care. Call them today at 504-821-2574.
At Fidelity Bank, some of our clients say "here for good" in Spanish.
Estamos aquí para quedarnos.
Some say it in French.
Ici pour de bon.
Vietnamese.
Arai mai mai.
And even Italian.
Qui per sempre.
Because "here for good" means we're local and committed to our uniquely diverse South Louisiana community. Come see what a difference a local bank can make since 1908.
Here for good.
Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
I'm Dan Mills, CEO of the Home Builders Association of Greater New Orleans. As the voice of the residential housing industry in Southeast Louisiana for over 80 years, we're your home team when it comes to providing trusted advice and professional service. As with any organization, teamwork is the key. Our members benefit from education, advocacy, and networking, all designed to help you achieve your American dream of owning a home. For more information, to find a builder, or to become a member, visit us at hbagno.org.
Louisiana Radio Network, I'm Colleen Crane. Louisiana's seasonally adjusted unemployment rate is the lowest for the month of November, according to the Louisiana Workforce Commission. At 3.5%, the rate is tied for the third lowest rate in series history. Workforce Commission Secretary Robert Woolley says the commission, along with stakeholders, host free job fairs and community events. Citizens can also apply for jobs on their website at laworks.net. LSU offensive coordinator Mike Denbrock is leaving the LSU Tigers so he can return to Notre Dame to be the offensive coordinator for the Fighting Irish. Tiger Rag assistant editor William Weathers says Denbrock is from the Midwest, and that could be the reason why he's going back to South Bend.
At 59 years old and a native of southern Michigan, he's probably a lot closer to his home, and maybe that plays into it as he gets in the advanced stages of his career.
This will be Denbrock's third stint as an assistant coach at Notre Dame. LRN.
Medicaid members, keep your coverage. Update your address, email address, and cell phone number to receive information regarding your benefits. Act now. If you get a letter from Louisiana Medicaid, read it and respond as soon as possible. For more information or to update your info, call the number on your insurance card or visit healthy.la.gov. That's healthy.la.gov. Remember to update all required information before Medicaid deadlines so you don't lose your coverage.
The holiday season is right around the corner, so give the gift that's hard to wrap but easy to give. Give them a steal. With powerful trimmers, blowers, and chainsaws to place under the tree, the Steel Holiday Gift Guide has something for everyone. Save $30 on the GTA 26 battery-powered garden pruner. Visit your local Steel dealer or go to steelusa.com/giftguide. Real Steel. Find yours. Now $149.99 was $179.99 MSRP. Offer valid for a limited time only at participating dealers while supplies last.
Following is a paid endorsement.
He's a man of integrity.
Choosing your attorney can be a life-changing decision. Chip Forstall has over 28 years of experience, giving you the personal attention that you need. If you or a loved one has been injured, you need a lawyer to protect you, your family, and work to get compensation for your injuries. Contact the law office of Chip Forstall today, located at 320 North Carrollton Avenue, New Orleans, or call us at 483-3400. That's 483-3400. Or log on to www.chipforstall.com today. You need caring, aggressive, and effective representation. You need personal attention. You need Chip Forstall.
Chip Forstall. Chip Forstall. He knows the law. Chip Forstall.
Are you looking for the perfect personalized gift for your friends and loved ones? Then look no further than Crow and Crescent. Crow and Crescent provides customizable handmade gifts, tumbler cups, and much more. All items are handmade with care and can be gift-wrapped with personalized messages. For more information, you can find us at crowandcrescent.com and on Instagram. Crow and Crescent, let us show you the right gift for any occasion.
this is Kate Delaney from America Tonight. The show kicks on at midnight, and I'm loving the overwhelming support in New Orleans. What a group of fantastic listeners here on WGSO 990 AM. Join me every morning to catch up on what I call the buzz in your backyard and mine. You'll hear some of the most interesting people on the planet from the world of business, politics, sports, and, well, just intriguing people with a story to tell. If you're around, give us a call. Don't worry, I'll spit out the number plenty of times on the air. Let's agree to meet at midnight right here on WGSO 990 AM in New Orleans.
All right, we're back here live. Last couple of segments of the show. We have Premier Nissan at 6636 Veterans Boulevard, where Metairie meets Kenner. They're open 99 every day except for Sunday. And we're talking Saints football. So we got Gary Smith from The Advocate with us right now. So, Gary, thanks for joining me this evening.
Thanks for having me on the show.
All right, so, you know, my last guest kind of summarized it was more detailed than I was about what I said about the fact that the key thing was to get off to a good start last night. Because we weren't playing the Giants, we weren't playing Carolina, and I said if we scored 7 points, we would be down, and that would be a problem on the road against a pretty good football team. And he reminded me of the fact that we played teams like the Rams, or maybe even a little bit better, arguably, than the Rams. For example, Detroit. I don't know about Jacksonville these days, but Detroit. We've been down by halftime. We've been down pretty far. You know, you think about the Detroit right. game or even the Jacksonville game. And so we had, you know, and I think about, you know, they're down 10-7. They're moving. They got momentum. It's a fourth down. I know they're not getting the ball first in the second half, but it's like I kind of felt like we should have punted. You don't want to give them any points. You want at least, worst case, you want to go down 10-7. So, you know, you think about that, and 10-7 would have been a lot better than 17-7. And they went for a fourth down earlier in the first half as well and didn't get it. I mean, what do you think is going through Dennis Allen's mind? Does he feel like, you know, like I'm playing a better team, I got to go for it whenever I have a chance, I got to just go for it?
Yeah, I think he did. Look, I've seen a lot of criticism of his decisions, and I think there were some questionable decisions in it, but I think the reality is the Rams are just a much better team. I'll go further. I think the Rams are the second-best team in the NFC right now, and I'm not kidding. I think they're not as good as San Francisco. I think they're better than Philadelphia. I think they're better than Dallas. They've got a great running back. They've got a quarterback who's playing absolutely terrific. They've got great wide receivers. They've got Aaron Donald on defense. They're just a better football team than the Saints. And, yeah, that certainly was the turning point in the game. The Saints had really, honestly, had been dominated the whole first half. Then the Rams missed a field goal. The Saints get a touchdown. They have a chance to score. I totally understand why he went for it. I also think there was still almost 2 minutes left in the half, and the Rams had all three timeouts. And earlier in the game, he had elected to punt on the opening possession when he could have kicked a long field goal. I question that decision a little bit. And then the Rams went 95 yards for a touchdown, 90 yards, whatever it was, with ease on that possession. So I don't really, I have a problem with the execution, though. I mean, the play was just a complete debacle, which we've seen a lot of that this year for the Saints in crucial situations. Right. But I don't care. If the Saints had gone ahead 14-10 at halftime, I think they were still going to lose the game because the Rams beat them up on both sides of the line of scrimmage because the Saints just aren't a very good football team. When's the last time the Saints have beaten a legitimately good team? I'm struggling to remember.
I guess the Colts would be the best win.
Yeah, that's true. They're now good. They weren't, and you know, so that's the point because they didn't look that good when the Saints played them. But you can go back and do that for every team in the league and try to. But you're right. The Colts did have a winning record, so the Saints have that on their record.
The problem is not only the coaching because the kicking situation obviously was a penny wise, pound foolish decision to try to save money to get rid of Will Lutz, which I thought was
I didn't think it was a great idea, but I'll tell you this. I know a lot of people that were practice observers who insisted that this guy outkicked Will Lutz in the preseason. First of all, I agree with you. You don't go with an untested kicker when your kicker's been pretty reliable. Will Lutz had one bad year, but overall I think he's more reliable. And I think that was a mistake, but I did. I was told that this guy outkicked him in the preseason. But you got to do it in real games.
I think too many NFL teams are worried about how much it costs for a kicker when they need to understand how important a kicker is to a team. I think they don't understand. I know the kicker's not in very often, but it's still a very important position. The other thing that continues to plague them is beyond just the mistakes at the wrong time, which you think about the sack that Derek Carr took in the first possession. They still could have tried the field goal, obviously, but it put them in worse position. Mistake by Derek Carr. The penalty at the end of the first drive by the Rams, they would have only gotten a field goal. That one. Yep. But the running game, again, 35 yards rushing.
You nailed it. I mean, again, it's hard to win that way when you've got Alvin Kamara, who's having a pretty good year, can't get anything going. When you're beat up on the line of scrimmage, it's hard to win. It's possible, but it's hard. And the reality is the Rams were able to run pretty much whenever they wanted to against the Saints, and the Saints could not run a lick. So it put all the pressure on the passing game. And, Derek Carr threw the one absolutely horrendous interception. Other than that, I thought he played pretty well. It didn't matter. They were outgunned in that game. They just didn't have enough. And, that's why they're a 7-8 football team right now.
Well, the other thing is Trevor Penning's been a disaster. He was a first-round pick. The offensive line's getting older. Yep. Those guys were productive guys, but they're getting older, and they've been injured as well. And so this team has gotten maybe too old, right? Maybe, don't you think? Maybe that.
I think so. I don't. I'm not arguing that. I agree with that. The funny thing is, we'll find out on Sunday if Tampa loses to Jacksonville. The Saints are still right in the picture to win the division. If Tampa wins that game, the Saints are pretty much done. Even if they beat Tampa the next week, because then they would need Tampa to lose to Carolina the next week. Now it happened with Atlanta, but happening twice, I don't think it's going to occur. So they've still got that to hold on to, depending on what happens between Tampa and Jacksonville. But the reality is, this isn't a very good football team.
Well, the thing is, too, probably their wild card chances are probably very bad, too, now, I would think.
Yeah, they're in bad shape. Their wild card hit took it when Seattle got the miracle last drive the other day. That pretty much ended that, because obviously the Rams are going to be ahead of the Saints. Dallas or Philadelphia is going to be ahead of the Saints, and Seattle has a ridiculously easy schedule the rest of the way, and they have a tiebreaker over the Saints. So I think the wild card's out the window now. It's win the division or bust, and that's absolutely still in play. But they need Jacksonville to beat the Bucs on Sunday.
And the question is, Trevor Lawrence going through concussion protocol, so he might not even play, and that's a problem as well. So, and I read some analytics thing, which actually predicted the Saints to win last night, and predicted Tampa Bay to beat to lose to Carolina, but beat the Saints, which is crazy.
Yeah, I saw that same analytics thing. It was like throw that. I don't know. That was like some type of reverse analytics or something, because it made no sense whatsoever.
Common sense, right?
Yeah, it none. But I really do think the Saints are still in the division picture, because Tampa is just not a very good team. Of course they can beat Jacksonville, and of course they can have a better chance to beat them if Trevor Lawrence doesn't play. But Tampa's capable of losing to them just as easily, and then the Saints would be playing Tampa to kind of, with the winner kind of taking control of the division with one game left. It's incredible to say that, the way the Saints have played this year, but it's the reality.
Well, let's say the Saints go 8-9. Let's say they split the last two, and they don't win the division. What happens in the offseason? What is your best guess of what happens in the offseason?
My best bet is that not a whole lot happens in the offseason. I think they stay with this coaching staff. I think they're stuck with Carr with the amount of money he's making. Should that happen? Of course not. This was a golden opportunity, playing one of the worst schedules in the history of the NFL this year. Like you point out, it's a team that's getting aging. There's nothing to indicate that the Saints, who will play a much tougher schedule on paper next year, would have a prayer of making the playoffs if they can't do it this year. That screams to make a change, but I don't think it would happen.
So you don't think that Dennis Allen loses his job if they don't make the playoffs this year?
I don't think it's a lock. I think maybe if they go 7-10, of course, is there any difference between going 7-10 and not making the playoffs in one of the worst divisions ever, or 8-9 and not making the playoffs?
No, not really, but
I have a feeling that it would make a difference with the Saints brass.
Well, I think if the fans are going to be vocal about it, but I mean the fans don't always carry the day, of course. But if there's no changes, if they don't make the playoffs, regardless of whether they go 8-9 or 7-10, then my point is, that they got to take into consideration with the fans. And what I'm saying is that they don't if they don't make the playoffs and they don't make any changes, what's the fans' reaction going to be to that?
Livid, bordering on apathy down the road in terms of giving up. There will be no hope, no chance. Now, fans are pretty fickle. If they were to start off good next year, that would change. But no, the reaction would be absolutely livid. But the season tickets are already sold. I think attendance would take a hit, but the season tickets wouldn't. And I don't know. I mean, maybe there would be a groundswell and a change, but I just. But from the people I've talked to, that just it seems like that's less likely because the Saints just don't do these things.
Well, you know what? And then we got to roll. But it seems the thing that's scarier with the fans is it seems to be more apathy than anger.
Yeah.
In my opinion, the people I talk to, they're like, I didn't watch the game. I don't care. Not that like I'm so mad. I watched the game and I don't like what's going on. They're like, I didn't even watch the game, which is worse. But anyway.
Yeah, you're right. And like I tweeted last night about the Saints' playoff chances that they were still good if Tampa Bay lost, and I got like five responses about like playoffs. This team stinks. Who cares?
Right. Yeah, that's sad.
There you have it.
Anyway, we got to roll. Hey, Gary, Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. Thanks for joining me this evening.
Thanks for having me on.
All right, we're going to take our last break. We're going to be back with Danny Brewer and talk some horse racing and a little more Saints right after these messages.
This is Jed Darensberg with DA Exterminating Company. Here's our jingle. Hope it bugs you.
DA Exterminating. The real DA is on the way. Say your home's got fleas or home's got bugs. Crawling in your walls or on your rugs. Say no to bugs. Tell your DA. Pick up the phone. We're on the way. DA Exterminating.
We offer complete pest and termite control featuring the Centricon system. DA Exterminating Company. 800-650-PEST.
DA.
Mitch Gibbs here, host of In the Red Zone in our 12th season for LA Medical Management Corporation, located at 2930 Canal Boulevard, New Orleans, Louisiana. And they are open Monday through Thursdays, 8:30 to 5:30 p.m., and Fridays, 8 to 5 p.m. At LMMC, they handle primary care, physical therapy, and diagnostic testing. With medical doctors on staff, they are the personal injury specialists and the leaders in accident-related health care. Call them today at 504-821-2574.
At Fidelity Bank, some of our clients say "here for good" in Spanish.
Estamos aquí para quedarnos.
Some say it in French.
Ici pour de bon.
Vietnamese.
Arai mai mai.
And even Italian.
Qui per sempre.
Because "here for good" means we're local and committed to our uniquely diverse South Louisiana community. Come see what a difference a local bank can make since 1908.
Here for good.
Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
I'm Dan Mills, CEO of the Home Builders Association of Greater New Orleans. As the voice of the residential housing industry in Southeast Louisiana for over 80 years, we're your home team when it comes to providing trusted advice and professional service. As with any organization, teamwork is the key. Our members benefit from education, advocacy, and networking, all designed to help you achieve your American dream of owning a home. For more information, to find a builder, or to become a member, visit us at hbagno.org.
Are you suffering from neck and back pain from a recent car accident? Have you gone to the emergency room to have them tell you there's nothing wrong? Hi, I'm Dr. Steven Tremuto with Doctors Rehab Services, and chiropractic care is one of the best remedies for whiplash and soft tissue injuries. With locations in Kenner, Mid-City, and the West Bank, it's easy to start your road to recovery. At Doctors Rehab Service, we'll even do all the work with your insurance company and attorney to get you the care you really need.
For a free consultation or to get more information, call Doctors Rehab Services at 504-465-5553.
Call me, Dr. T.
Mitch Gibbs here, host of In the Red Zone, talking about my good friend Bob and Parish Coffee, which started in 2018 and provides quality coffee at an affordable price. Try their medium roast, dark roast, chicory coffee, decaf coffee, and southern pecan. They are all handcrafted with a great taste to wake you up to a beautiful morning and are available at local roasters including Robert's, Rouse's, Bromart, Langenstein's, Conseco's, and Doranax.
All right, we're back here for the final segment of the show here at Premier Nissan with my good buddy Danny Brewer with HorseRacingScoop.com. So, Danny, thanks for joining me this evening.
Mitch, appreciate you having me, man. You know, I always love the Get Rich with Mitch segments that we have.
Yeah, I was looking at the I'll be at the fairgrounds tomorrow looking at the entries for their first road to the Kentucky Derby. It's amazing. We're not even in, we're close to the new year, but we're not there yet. We already have the road to the Kentucky Derby, which is not until May. But they're raving about this horse Nash running in the Gun Runner, which is the 2-year-old race. Here for the for those prospective Kentucky Derby horses. So it's a good card, obviously, tomorrow afternoon. Any you got any thoughts on who we really need to watch there tomorrow?
Yeah, we sure do. Okay, so the first thing I'm going to say is, you know, when you start thinking about the Kentucky Derby, the day after the previous Kentucky Derby. So it's not too early, Mitch. It's good that we're on the road to Kentucky Derby. You're always on the road to the Derby. You know, like I said, you start thinking about the day after. Now, as far as Nash is concerned, I think, yeah, I want to see what this horse has got. When I talked to Brad Cox back at Clark Day at Churchill Downs, Brad told me Nash was his best 2-year-old right now. You know, so you know what the Brad Cox barn is like. I mean, that's a pretty strong statement, you know, because the guy, he's got lots of talent, but he knows what to do with it, and he cultivates it. You know, Brad Cox, hardest working trainer in horse racing is what I say. The guy's always at his barn. But I think Nash, let's see what he's got. I'll be very interested to get a look at him because it's, you know, I talked to Brad this week, big test for Nash, and he's anxious to see how he stacks up against these other horses because, you know, Aspies has got a couple good ones in there. I think the Brendan Walsh horse has got some talent. So, yeah, going to be interesting.
You know what's funny is he's got a horse called Catching Freedom, his other horse. Watch that horse beat Nash. I wouldn't be surprised. You know, they're 2-year-olds. We'll see. But I've been told that Nash is a monster. Like that, one of the horse racing guys I talked to about a week ago really likes Nash. I said the horse had one big race. That's a big leap. Let's see how he does tomorrow.
Exactly. No, we're right on the money. I think you're dead on it, Mitch.
What else do you like? I mean, I know they've got the Sugar Bowl race, which is the 3-year-olds going 6 furlongs. They've got I like the older horse races. You know, obviously, like the Tenacious Handicap. I don't know if you've had a chance to look at that. Pioneer Medina, a very quality horse that's had some issues and missed a little bit of time. Another Brad Cox horse, an older horse, but has had his moments. One of the favorites in that race. What are your thoughts on that?
I like Confidence Game, the Keith DeSormo horse. You know, Confidence Game, $20,000 purchase. He's a great story. He won the $1 million Rebel Stakes last February. So, you know, he's capable of running big races. I talked to Keith earlier in the week, and he thinks they're sitting on a big one. So Confidence Game, 12-1, that's the one I like. That one, because I think that's a very balanced field, but I don't think that it's, like, super, super talented. Pioneer Medina is a nice horse. But, you know, Happy American is 4-1 as a second choice, and Happy American is a stakes horse, but he's not spectacular. So, you know, like I said, I think that the Confidence Game there, that's more than that one. In the turf race, two Emmys, I think, is the morning line favorite at 3-1. But that's a horse. Jimmy Graham is riding him. He always runs big at the fairgrounds, on the fairgrounds turf.
Yeah, I was going to say, but back to the, you know, the Tenacious. Those horses have won nice races, but they've been very inconsistent. It's a tough race to handicap. So I think it's, I like 5-Star General a little bit in that race, but I think it's wider. But I love Grant Forster. He's one of my favorite trainers, so I always like his horses. But that's a tough one. This is a day, I think, tomorrow, where you really have to be a good handicapper to do well, which is, you know, it's a skill. And it's hard to win money betting horses unless you're very lucky or you're a very good handicapper. So I think the challenge is there for tomorrow.
Yeah, I think that most of the time, I'd rather be lucky.
Right.
Because, you know, that's what seems to count the most in this sport.
Yeah, I'd rather be lucky than good, right.
Exactly, yes,
I know,
sir.
You're a big college football guy. Any thoughts about any of the big games coming up? I know we're not too far away, a couple of weeks or so. I know we had a controversy about Alabama and Florida State, all that stuff. Florida State talking about leaving the ACC, mad at the ACC. I don't think they should blame the ACC. I think they should blame the selection committee.
Right, exactly. I think the team that, you know, nobody's talking about this, but I think the team that really got the shaft was Georgia. Now, you know, I think Bama's going to – I'm taking Bama over Michigan. I don't know what the line is on that one, but I'm taking Bama in that one. But Georgia, 29 wins in a row, back-to-back national championships. They get beat by 3 points in a championship game by Alabama, and nobody even talks about Georgia. I think Georgia's one of the top four teams in the country. They should have been there. I'm sorry, whoever you boot out, I don't care. But it should have been. But Georgia should have been there.
Well, that's a good argument you can make. And you know, Georgia didn't expect to play. I think early in the season, I don't think they thought they might play. They might have thought they had a rematch with LSU with all the expectations. But you're right, to be the two-time national champion and undefeated. But I guess they thought their schedule was just not that great, and I think that hurt them a little bit. And then losing at the end of the season, right? The last game doesn't help either. But but you know what? The bottom line is they can say all they want about the ACC and these other conferences pushed against expanding until next year. That's not a fair excuse to blame to knock out Florida State, in my opinion. But I still think we should have 8 teams, not 12. I think 12 is too much. I think we should have 8. What are your thoughts on that?
I think 8 team is a plenty big playoff. You know, I mean, what you don't want to do is water it down and destroy the value of the regular season. You know, because because you want to make sure that the regular season does mean something, and it is important to schedule good games, and it is important to win those games.
Yeah, I agree with you. You know, I'm the one who was crying that more teams, and then I think they went for too many, but. Anyway, hey, I'm going to think about your picks for tomorrow. I know you're always very good. You picked some good winners for us the last few weeks, so I always like to have you on to talk about that. And I want to wish you Merry Christmas, Happy New Year. And it's always a pleasure to have you on, Danny. Thanks for joining me tonight.
Super appreciate it, Mitch. You know, and like I said, you got a hunch, bet a bunch, back a horse and get paid.
There you go, man. To the wire, of course. Hey, thanks again, Danny.
All right, see you, Mitch. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, and I want to thank all our great guests tonight. We had, of course, Genevieve Matei, who's a vice president of the Crescent City Homebrewers. They have their big fundraiser on January 13th at the Deutsches House, which is 1700 Moss Street, and that will be that evening of the 13th, right off of the Bayou St. John. Great event. I should be there. We had Hunt Palmer with the Hunt Palmer Show. Good stuff from him. Gary Smith with The Advocate. Danny Brewer with HorseRacingScoop.com. I want to thank Ronald and BJ back at the studio and all the great people at WGSO Radio and, of course, all the great people here at Premier Nissan. This is our last show of this year. We'll be back in a week. Of course, Monday is Christmas. Won't be on. I'll be on the road in Florida doing some basketball and hockey and some Saints football in Orlando and Tampa. So we'll be off on Friday as well. So we'll be back a week from Monday, and we'll be talking about the Saints and Tampa Bay result and the Saints' upcoming matchup, hopefully, which is relevant against the Falcons. So we want to wish everybody Merry Christmas, Happy New Year. Like I said, we will not be back until 2024, a week from Monday. So we want to wish everybody a Merry Christmas, of course, and Happy New Year. And all the great people here at Premier Nissan and at WGSO Radio. It's been a great year and a great year on the radio as well. And come on down to Premier Nissan. They're going to be open tomorrow, 23rd, a day before Christmas Eve, all the way till 9 o'clock to buy a new car, truck, SUV, whatever is in your like. And again, we will be back on in 2024, a week from Monday, talking Saints football versus Tampa Bay and, of course, Atlanta. Merry Christmas, Happy New Year. We'll talk to you a week from Monday in 2024.
Mitch Gibbs here, host of In the Red Zone in our 12th season for LA Medical Management Corporation, located at 2930 Canal Boulevard, New Orleans, Louisiana. And they are open Monday through Thursdays, 8:30 to 5:30 p.m., and Fridays, 8 to 5 p.m. At LMMC, they handle primary care, physical therapy, and diagnostic testing. With medical doctors on staff, they are the personal injury specialists and the leaders in accident-related healthcare. Call them today at 504-821-2574.